This Marketplace podcast is supported by Ascensus, helping people dream bigger, aim higher, and save more with financial confidence. Unleash the power of your retirement savings plan with innovative technology that makes things easy, top-notch service from experts who care, and flexible solutions that can grow with you. For more than 40 years, Ascensus has been helping savers achieve their goals. We can help you achieve yours, too. Learn more at Ascensus.com. That's ASCENSUS.com.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
The cost of a shutdown. From Marketplace, I'm Sabri Benishor, in for David Brancaccio. The federal government is sliding towards a shutdown. Chances are dwindling that the House can pass funding bills in time to avoid it. Yesterday, a handful of Republicans tanked passage of what would normally be an easy-to-pass bill to fund the Defense Department. So if it comes down to a shutdown, what can we expect the economic costs to be? Marketplace's Nova Sappho has more.
There are hard numbers available on the costs of government shutdowns. To the federal government, $4 billion. That's the estimated cost of the last three shutdowns, according to one Senate report. Much of that money was back pay for furloughed federal employees. The estimated impact on the economy is somewhere in the several billion dollars a week range. A prolonged shutdown could delay the release of economic data, such as unemployment totals and GDP estimates. That would leave policymakers and analysts in the dark, just as the Federal Reserve is trying to engineer a soft landing, lowering inflation, cooling the economy, but not so much that it causes a recession. Social Security and Medicare benefits would continue, but much of the federal bureaucracy would come to a halt. For example, military members would have to work without pay, and the Small Business Administration would have to pause loan approvals. I'm Nova Sappho for Marketplace.
During the pandemic, the federal government started to offer a number of benefits specifically around children. Among them, federal subsidies for child care facilities. That aid will begin to disappear at the end of this month. Other benefits, like the child tax credit, have already expired. Federal spending on kids generally fell 16% between the 2022 and 2023 government fiscal years. That is according to a report out this morning from advocacy group First Focus on Children. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer has more.
38-year-old Lauren Hipp of Seattle is afraid her kids' daycare center won't survive without the federal pandemic aid. She says it's
that continued sense of panic and fear.
Hipp, a mother of three, follows child care issues closely for her job with the advocacy group Moms Rising. She can work from home, but
there is no way that I could keep up a full-time job and have even just my toddler at home. It would be extremely difficult.
According to a report from the Century Foundation, more than 70,000 child care programs will likely close after they lose their federal pandemic aid. Century Foundation senior fellow Julie Cashin says that could cost families around $9 billion a year in lost earnings.
And that's a combination of parents having to reduce their work hours or leave their jobs altogether.
At the same time, there's less federal aid for those parents. Michelle Dallafour, a senior vice president at First Focus on Children, says without that pandemic aid, like expanded child tax credits, more kids fell into poverty.
Child poverty more than doubled to over 12%.
And that was just in one year, from 2021 to 2022. I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
You turn to Marketplace for the latest news about what's happening in the economy and how it affects you and your community. When you donate to support our nonprofit newsroom, you can also get something a little more tangible. We have a great lineup of donor thank you gifts right now. A shrinkflation mini tote bag, water bottles, mugs, hats, and a lot more. Contribute any amount to make a difference and pick up one of these gifts. Go to marketplace.org/donate.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
This week, we have been taking a look at tipping, its history, how expectations around it are changing, how other countries do it. But tipping is one of those bits of economic knowledge that you aren't taught in school. You just kind of have to learn about it some other way. Marketplace's podcast for kids, Million Bazillion, published an episode teaching kids about tipping this week. Bridget Bodnar is co-host of Million Bazillion, and she's here to talk about how you might raise the topic with kids. Hi, Bridget.
Hey, Sabree.
So why do kids need to know about tipping? What do they need to know? And what do their grownups need to tell them?
Okay, yeah. So you should definitely plan on teaching your kids about or kid about tipping as you're just teaching them about money in general. Like, this is a life skill, because if you live in the U.S., the sticker price is not the end price that you are expected to pay. You see that when you go to a store, you're teaching your kid about budgeting. Your kid needs to know that they're going to have to pay another 5 or 10% on top of what the tag on the shelf said. That's taxes. And if you go to a restaurant, your kid is going to need to know that they also have to plan to spend an extra 15, 20, 25% on a tip. And while these tips are optional, the tips are very much expected.
How do you come up with that number range? Just because different folks seem to have different views on what the appropriate range is.
Generally, those numbers are just sort of what's standard, like what most people in the U.S. tend to tip. And those numbers have gone up over time. But it is a really good opportunity to talk to your kid about why I'm giving this much as a tip, or I decided that we're a 20% family, and kind of walk them through, like, this is just like a value thing that parents can have this conversation with their kids one-on-one.
How do you recommend teaching kids to tip?
So the next time that you're in a tipping opportunity, like let's say you're at a restaurant, you're maybe using a valet service, just take a second to talk to your kids, say, I'm going to leave a tip, and maybe just give them some insight into how you decided how much to leave for a tip. Like, how do you know when to leave a tip when it's not obvious? And then maybe if you are leaving like a percentage, and if it's age appropriate, you can let your kid work out the math for the tip. My personal favorite trick for this is when you just move the decimal point over to get 10%, and then you just double it to give 20%.
Is there an easy way to explain to a kid when you should be giving a tip?
Why don't we turn to our expert that we used in our Million Bazillion episode, Mort Bisbee. He's the legendary founder of Happy Land, a theme park and resort.
If you have been served, a tip is deserved.
And yes, that's Marketplace Morning Report's David Brancaccio. He lent us his voice for that episode.
Bridget Bodnar is the co-host of Marketplace's Money Podcast for Kids. New episodes drop every Tuesday. That's Million Bazillion. Bridget, always great to talk to you.
Thanks, you too, Sabree.
And you can find a lot more from our series on tipping, including tips on tipping, online at marketplace.org. In New York, I'm Sabree Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.